How are you doing? I'm Tim Cocker and this is the Radio Academy podcast, and here I am always on the lookout for exciting new innovations in our audio and radio industry, new shows, podcasts, and I'm delighted to take recommendations as well. So hey, feel free to get in touch. And it was a friend of mine who I trust on these matters who recently said, Tim, have you heard It Was All a Dream? It's great. This is a podcast series revealing the dark underbelly of the dream of becoming a professional footballer, the untold stories of the players who don't make it. And with a new football season approaching, I thought, yeah, I'll have that. And my friend was absolutely right. It is very good. Good enough, I want to showcase it here and now. But it was also, as I later found out, 2 years old. Embarrassing to admit, given I have and do work on TalkSport, which the series was broadcast on. So I thought, okay, well, now there's two things to discuss. A fantastic series, and the art of keeping content alive, sometimes long after its initial release. And this is something I discussed with the series producer, as well as the co-owner at independent production company Unedited, Andrew Spence. Andrew, thank you for your time, and also sincere apologies that I've only just found out about this show you made. sorry I was 3 years late.
But it's new to you, though.
It's new to me. Do you get that a lot?
I think with this series, I think people are finding it. The host, Troy Townsend, he works in that area of football, and he always tells me, people keep coming up to him, I just heard your podcast that you did about the academy. It's so, so good. I only heard it last week, or I was listening to it yesterday. So it's still doing the rounds, and apparently Troy was telling me a few professional clubs, Premier League and Football League, they actually use it in their academies now. The academy teachers, the people who do the actual, they use it as a guide and tell some of the parents to have a listen to it from what he's told me. So I was like, wow. Troy's idea was just one line. I wanted to do something on the academies. And I was like, okay, let me come back to you. Let me delve into this story. He wants to talk about, you know, the successes, but most of the failures and just the realism of the journey, not just from the player's point of view, but from everybody's point of view, from the parents who live their dream through it. Some parents do, some people. It's like a way out for some parents, for families, because they come from poor backgrounds. And for the clubs, it's not hard turning away kids and saying you're not good enough and breaking people's dreams and what it means to them as well, you know, financially, mentally, etc. So that's what I wanted to delve into. I wanted to see the good side and the bad side, but also the fact that there's this statistic that just keeps coming out, but nobody's actually proved it because there's no figures. Basically like winning a lottery, isn't it, really?
I was half a step away from throwing myself in front of a train. I was, and the only reason I didn't was my nephew had just been born and I hadn't had a chance to properly meet him. But I was in depression and I was ridiculously suicidal because I was no longer going to be a footballer and there was nothing for me. We speak about aftercare and the fact of not making it as a professional footballer does not have to mean it's the end of your life. That wasn't my mentality at the age of 19, 20 when I'd grown up and everybody knew that I was good. My answer, anytime anyone ever said, Ashley, what happens if you don't become a footballer? My answer was, I am going to be a footballer. Every time I saw anyone, oh, Ashley, how's the football going on? The idea of dealing with that was too much for me to bear. I couldn't see anyone. I just couldn't do that. The embarrassment of having to sign on, going to a job centre, and the idea of anybody seeing me going to the job centre when, hold on, I was meant to be a professional footballer. I just told them I couldn't deal with. And couldn't see a way out.
But I'd love to know about the thought and the experience of going and yeah, getting some really raw moments.
Because Troy Townsend, who is a narrator, so Troy, just to give you a bit of context, Troy Townsend works for Kick It Out, which is the anti-racist arm in football that basically is trying to push for, you know, no homophobia, racism, etc. in football. But he's also his son. He's a professional footballer called Andros Townsend, very successful, play for England, play for loads of Premier League sides, etc. But he's also got other sons that never made it, and he always sees it because he does a lot of talks with academies. So he had a lot of access to the clubs. He's known within the circle. So he he had access to people that wanted to talk about it, and he said that it was a conversation he kept on having about with young people in football and people that worked around it. And he was quite frustrated as well because some of the footballing bodies weren't keeping accurate records of who drops out. Football is a crazy industry. It's one of the most regulated, unregulated industries I've ever known. They only put numbers on numbers that they want to put the numbers on, let's just be honest. You couldn't get any figures of the players that dropped out, who made it, who didn't. They actually didn't keep numbers. They're starting to now. Troy was the catalyst. He had all the links. He had all the people. He had this idea was incubating in his mind for a long time, but he just didn't know how to make it. And then he came to me and then we worked on it together and I came up with the format of how we wanted to do it with a writer.
How does it feel from your perspective, having, you know, you've helped Troy find this platform, you've helped tell the story, you've created the audio journey that we went on. How does it feel for you that there's a legacy already? It's actually being, that's amazing that you mentioned it's being handed to parents as a, yeah, this will open your eyes about the reality. This will mean you've got no illusions.
It is great because when you work in production and radio and so forth, it's here today, gone tomorrow, on to the next thing. You just don't think about stuff you make and you don't think of the legacy or the evergreenness of it. You just think, oh, that went out and that was it. We move on to the next thing. Nobody cares. And, you know, yourself has found it. When you got in contact with it, it was like, oh my gosh, because we were talking about it about a few months back. Like, we need to re-explore that because we were like, me and my business partner, Bernard, we were like, Burns not even a football fan, but he was like, that was such a really good series, you know. It's a shame that it didn't make as much waves as it should have, because we've seen projects happen from it afterwards. We saw one with the guy from Liverpool, Alexander Trent Arnold, who did a series on it, a little short on BBC. There was a series on Channel 4 about the Crystal Palace Academy. So the story's there. People have covered it in different ways, but I don't think they've covered it in the way that we've done it. We've spoke to people that have been successful, that haven't been successful, people from the clubs, people from the governing bodies. We spoke, the Premier League was on there, and that was a hard interview to get because they were so, you could tell they didn't really want to talk, but because we had relationships there, we had to kind of like guide and say what we were going to do and so forth. Even the WSL, we talked about women's football because that was another thing that we really wanted to do. A lot of people, you know, focus on the men's game, but it's also happening in the women's game, even though it's an earlier part of its story. It's just beginning. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing. Then, like, you contact me and I'm like, wow, well, people still are listening. People still want to hear it. So what we did is the other day we put something on our socials. We recut some of the videos and played them out. Eber Richieze, he's like an England midfielder, Crystal Palace midfielder. He's on it because he talks about being rejected many, many times as a youngster, and then he finally made it. And we thought, oh, let's release this clip, and it did really well. It did well on TikTok and all that. So there is an appetite for this kind of story, which is really, really good to hear.
Yeah, and you just used the word evergreen.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting. Like, you put your blood, sweat and tears, you put hours perfecting every little moment, and sometimes something that you know is a great story or a great piece can just, for whatever reason, any number of reasons, can just miss the target. When that happens, because you've been on both sides of it, I'm sure, many times.
Yeah.
When that happens, what's that like as a producer?
Ah, demoralizing. But I'm that kind of person where I'm like, well, I know I did a good job. It was a great thing, but it's just the elements just don't come together, isn't it? I know we produced something that's really, really good. It got nominated for a few awards, so I know it did all right. So it just didn't hit. Like most things in the modern world, it's all about marketing and the right time and, you know, all these different things. Sliding door moments, isn't it? We did a series before that with Audio Concept Fund called Coming In From The Cold. That did absolutely amazingly well and won loads of awards and got loads of recognition, and it was always talked about on Talk Sports. So it's just how it happens. I kind of accept it. Been in this industry so too long, becomes simple. So it does. I'm just like, okay, move on.
But it sounds like you're proactively acknowledging that actually you need to have a second or maybe third or whatever bite of the cherry for people. If you believe in something, it's worth keeping the bubble going.
Oh, definitely. It's what they will say, repurposing content. This is definitely a case of the repurposing content, which is, makes it mad that you contacted me, because we were repurposing the content. We've got clips that will be going out on our socials and we'll be pushing it with, we've got Jamie Carragher, who's on the documentary as well, talking as well. So we're going to basically purpose some more stuff and get it out there so people can listen to it again. And we haven't given up hope, because as you've probably been speaking to many people, the word IP comes into play now with this, because there is some IP that could make this into a documentary on TV, a streaming service. It can be done. It's been done in little parts, but not to this defining factor like this, I don't think. So one day, hopefully, we could do that. And a lot of podcasts are. That's what's happening there with podcasts. The IP potential is immense.
And I'm really fascinated by that process and that journey from the something you create in studio to whatever it may be, TV, documentary or more. How much do you go out and try and make that happen? And how much is that that people are looking and come to you?
It's a 50-50. It's a back and forth. Yeah. So it's looking, finding the people that are interested. There's lots of big production houses. There's lots of people that want to buy IP. And then it's basically shopping it to your normal linear people. But there's also companies that will buy into it, buy stakes into it. You know, your big production arms. There's actual IP acquisition people out there that are acquiring IP. People from the BBC and people from, you know, your normal companies, but also from big production houses. So it's about contacting them. It's about, you know, getting the word out, and it's about finding out and having meetings. This part of the thing is the long part, because we don't work in TV. We're radio people, but we know TV people. We know TV colleagues say things take ages. They take even longer than radio to get things off the ground and get things made. So this is the beginning of the journey that could take up to, could be 2 years, 3 years. I've heard people say it takes up to 5 years if the idea is that good. So, you know, and you were just telling me off mic before we started, you found a new podcast, and I've heard of that podcast. But I'm hearing that podcast now is being looked at IP-wise as well.
Yeah, someone shat on the floor at my wedding, a comedy true crime podcast, sending up the true crime style, and it's been around for ages, but all of a sudden someone mentioned it to me. I saw it in a newspaper recommended article, and it's all of a sudden it's just blown up. And like you say, potential TV crossover.
So somebody's gone to them and said, do you want to make this into TV? How do we adapt this to TV, to streaming? Would not be surprised.
Yeah, that's quite amazing. And I also, just on the same theme, I looked this up before I chatted to you, and Citizen Kane, regarded by many as the greatest film of all time, was a certified box office flop when it was released.
Bad, isn't it?
And there's so many examples of music being the same. Yeah. I guess I don't know why I'm surprised that audio would be any different whatsoever, but I guess it's a message to us all that creating this content, that what I think you said that resonated the most was that you knew it was good.
Yeah, as long as you, well, I mean, there's some people that are terrible and think things are good. You've got to find your niche and your audience, and just because it's not a hit today, like you said, there's a lot, you know, you can see the vinyls in the back, there's loads of albums that have been slept on when they came out, and then for some strange reason there's a song that just pushes it over the edge. You know the story about, it's not my favorite song, but Shaggy, It Wasn't Me, and the Hawaiian DJ that made it a massive hit. There's a video, there's a series, there's a documentary about that, and I was watching, I saw it the other day on TikTok, and I was like, oh, I forgot about this story. And then we're just telling the story about how It Wasn't Me, how the label didn't believe, nobody believed in it, thought it was a terrible album, thought that song was the worst song ever, and then some guy in Hawaii picked it up, loved it, people in Hawaii loved it, and then it just went massive, and then it was diamond certified record, sold millions and millions of copies, made people rich. It can happen. And the thing with audio, there's so many podcast titles out there, we've got too much choice, we're spoilt for choice, aren't we? So it is like finding a needle in the haystack, unless you're a big name. You know, there's so many things out there.
But what's the balance, you know, as an audio creator between trying to identify what is the zeitgeist and what is the current attitude or the current thing, and also leading and trying to create the kind of conversation?
Excuse me. Depends on what you're making. With It Was All a Dream, it was primarily a radio documentary, so it was always going to get a big audience when it was a broadcast, because it was broadcast, I think, on a Sunday evening around about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. So it was going to get a fairly decent audience on TalkSport. TalkSport's a massive station, nationally broadcast. You're going to get thousands of people listening to it. So it wasn't a problem that it would not be heard, but things are easily forgettable. So in terms of documentaries, it is going to be hard if you're doing a podcast. I really don't have the answer for that, really. It's about marketing, isn't it? You've got to spend as much time as making it, and also pulling resources into marketing, because if nobody knows about it, they're not going to listen to it. So I suspect that will be my answer for that. If it's other audio where it's always on and it's just lighthearted, for me, the way to go now is you have to film everything and you have to put it on YouTube or you have to make clips and so forth, because depending on your audience, a lot of the younger audiences, they listen with their eyes now. They don't listen with their ears, they listen with their eyes. So you have to be aware of that, I think. So I'm very, because I've got an 11-year-old son and he just basically watches YouTube. He doesn't watch linear TV apart from Netflix and Disney Plus and Prime and that. He doesn't watch any live TV apart from football. So that's where we're going, where audio has to kind of start partnering up with visuals and start thinking about how we're doing that. But that's if you're making always on shows or fun shows. But if you're making documentaries, I actually don't, I don't know how you cut through. You need big budgets, don't you, really? Big marketing budgets and a big name. And yeah, it's difficult, that one is.
And with on that front, with the financial backing stuff, how much are you finding that, again, the balance at We Are Unedited at the minute, that I've noticed you're trying to create formats and pilots that might tickle someone's fancy and might spin off into something bigger. Mm. But equally, what's the balance between that, the original content that you're trying to make and take out, and also delivering content to a brief for commercial for a commercial client?
It's the balance, isn't it? The work for hire keeps your lights on. You know, keeps the electricity running, and the originals are the ones that is the golden ticket, the lottery ticket, because one of them, if they do pay off and they do get the, you know, the buy-in from a Netflix or a Disney or whatever, and they buy the format, then that's brilliant. But it is much like It Was All a Dream. It's the 1%, isn't it, really? That is exactly what a lot of companies are doing, and they're starting to do. In this country, I know in America they've been doing it a lot different, and we've been talking to a lot of people out there in America, but over here, audio is changing. A lot of audio production companies were just making stuff for the BBC or doing their podcasts and whatever, but now they've realized with what's happened with Spotify now and how they've changed their strategy. It's interesting times in audio, it's interesting times in radio and podcasting and the onset of YouTube. It's evolving, isn't it? And we just don't know where it's going to go, because we're relying on a younger audience.
Have you got, whether it's success stories or lessons learned or anything, like in terms of trying to achieve that goal of engaging that next audience?
Marketing and visuals. We used to do, back in the day, audiograms and things and ran. Like I said, when I said listen with your eyes, they don't listen. They don't want to listen. They want to listen, but they want it on in the background, like visually. And I've started to do that now. I'm trying to figure out. I still listen to podcasts, but I've tried to start listening to podcasts on YouTube, because a lot of people, like, I go to the gym and there's younger people there, and they go, oh, I don't listen to podcasts. I just put it on YouTube and I just do my stuff, but it's playing. So I'm trying to figure out what the listening habits are, the watching. So yeah, it's that. And it's just social media is the key, because it kind of brings the brands, and the brands have the money. And yeah, I think and it's having the great ideas as well. And we did a thing called Pilot Season, you alluded to. It's about making the proof of concept, because you make the proof of concept, you take away the risk, especially when it comes to TV. We make the proof of concept with this format. It shows that it works. Then the TV company or the production company or the streamer or whatever, they're like, okay, you've made it for 1/10 of the price of it would cost for TV. It works. Let's see if we can develop this further. So there's many different strands to it.
And you've got a radio background, and I'll just sort of add into what you've been talking about from my perspective. Making radio is the other thing, is you just have to get straight to it, straight to the meat. You cannot mess about, no waffle, because it's gone. The opportunity's lost, because there's just so much choice.
It's ruthless in the cut, as I say. You've got to be ruthless in the cut. The radio in us, and it is the radio in us, and it's teasing the next 15 minutes, the next 10 minutes, because we know that people only listen for, 8 to 10 minutes to the radio, then they move on.
I really do think that's why people from radio are so just, I've got a leg up when it comes to that transition to podcasts, as We Are Unedited have demonstrated.
I've never worked for the BBC. I've always worked in commercial radio, so I don't know the luxury of having a 3-minute link. The BBC, to me, that's wild. My bosses would be like, what the hell, 3 minutes?
It's easy to think, isn't it? Oh, I just want to be able to make great content and have it be recognised on merit alone. But there is more to it than that. As Andrew just laid out, there's more often than not a process and a system and a lot of work to be done to get to that point. And for the most part, creating an audio success in whatever format that isn't achieved by the audio alone. Andrew and his team at Unedited, well, they clearly are confronting that reality and doing so proactively, and that is going to be a characteristic of those who thrive in the years ahead. Thank you very much to Andrew Spence. Now we're into August, which means the Radio Academy Festival 2023 is just around the corner. Check in with the very latest on that event. All our free content too by becoming a member at radioacademy.org for as little as £3 per month.